Let's pray first. Father, give you the glory for today, Lord. Thank you for this opportunity to share your word, your truth. It brings us life. And Father, we long for life. We long for hope. We long for peace in our lives, Father. So, Father, we pray that your peace and your spirit would pour upon this place today, Lord, that we would come out of here changed. We would come out of here thinking what we can do to make a difference in our generation for you, Father. To make a difference beyond these walls, Lord. To make a difference with our lives for you, Father. We can make a difference in our families, in our marriages, in our neighborhood, at our jobs, Father. You're calling us to go out beyond these walls and make a difference for you, Father. And it's exciting to be a part of that. It's exciting to know you. It's exciting to surrender our lives to you and say, Father, what do you have in store for me today? I want to be faithful for you. Your word tells us without faith, it's impossible to please you. For he that comes to him must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seeks you. So, Father, the prayers today is for diligence. The prayers today for us to be ready to make a difference for you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Praise God. Anybody see a wedding yesterday? Praise God. I have it on VHS if anybody wants to borrow it. In the book of Philippians, Paul called believers in that generation then, and I think he's calling believers the same thing today. He wants us to be blameless. He wants us to be innocent. He wants us to be children of God in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. Some versions say crooked and perverse generation. In the book of Job, one of his friends, and today you see the title is Beyond These Walls. I'm going to be taking some scriptures from the three J's in the Bible, Jeremiah, Job, and John. Really, 3 points. But before I get into the points, I saw this passage in Job, and it really ministered to me, and maybe it'll minister to you because it's God's word. And God's word will do nothing but just stir you up and get you prepared and ready. And Job's, his friend, said this, can papayas grow where there's no marsh? Can reeds flourish where there's no water? And there's two great questions. Yet while they're in flower and not cut down, they wither before any plant. Such are the paths of all who forget God. The hope of the godless shall perish. His confidence is severed, and severed means to separate or to divide or dissolve. And his trust is in a spider web. Anybody ever get it by a spider web and lean on it? It's not going to hold you up. It's not strong enough. The Bible says he leans against his house, but it does not stand. He lays hold of it, but he does not endure. Think about that. Because he has forgotten God. His hope and the godless, they perish. He says he leans on his house. It does not stand. He lays hold of it, but it does not endure. He's a lush plant before the sun, and his shoots spread out over its garden. Its roots entwine the stone heap. He looks upon a house of stones. And if he's destroyed from his place, then he will deny it. Then it will deny him, saying, I never seen you. Behold, this is the joy of his way, and out of all of the soil, others will spring. That's what happens when you forget God. But in verse 20 says, behold, God will not reject a blameless man, nor take the hand of evildoers. Yet he will fill your mouth with laughter and your lips with shouting. So think about it here. If you're here today and you really want to make a difference in your family, in your lives, and in your society, I'd like to give you 3 points today. The first one is our mission beyond these walls involves trusting in God. It's so important. We can't do anything without him. We have to be ready and prepared for him. And in Jeremiah chapter 17, he really gives us, there's really only two ways to live our lives. One, do you want to live your life like a shrub in the desert? He says in 17, 5 and 6, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. Think about that for a second. A man who's trusting in man to save him or a man to help him or makes his own flesh his strength. And his heart is really not after God. He turns away from the Lord. He's like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. Think about that. When you see somebody and they're stuck in their sin and really somebody comes along to try to help them. And some version says they don't even see when good comes. They don't understand. They don't see when good comes. And it says for that person who trust in man, he shall dwell in the parched places in the wilderness or an inhabited salt land. So you can live your life like shrub in the desert, or you can be a tree planted by the water. He says in the next four verses, blessed is the man who trusts the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by the water. He sends out roots by the stream. He does not fear when heat comes. Because we're going to have heat in our life. We're going to have trials in our life. We're going to have tough times in our life. But for some reason, when our heart is set upon God, that fear doesn't overcome us. For our leaves will remain green. We're not anxious in the year of drought. For it does not cease to bear fruit. And when I think of drought, I think of trials or suffering or hard times. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick, Jeremiah writes. Who can understand it? But I, the Lord, search the heart, test the mind, to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his deeds. Think about it. God is definitely on a search for you and a test. He wants to search your heart. He wants to test your mind. He wants you to bear fruit for him. Tony Evans shared a story concerning Job 8 and 9. And he said, many of us are attempting to run a game on God. We come into the store or we come into the church and say what we want and what we're committed to. We make declarations regarding what we want. And we take for our own purposes, and then at our convenience, we live for our own fulfillment and purposes. Think about it. Tony goes, that's running a game on God. The difference is, with God, we can't run a game because he has the ability to search the heart and know where our heart is at. So first, our mission beyond these walls involves trusting in God. No matter what's going on in our life, are we going to trust in him? Are we going to put our faith in him? Are we going to delight in him and allow him to work through us, even in our tough times? So our mission beyond these walls involves trusting in God. Our worship beyond these walls involves preparing and stretching and lifting. And you'll see it in these verses in Job 11, 13 through 20. And you notice the word you is 9 times. The word yours 8 times. So this is for us. This is how we go if we want to worship outside these walls. And Job said this, if you prepare your heart, if you'll stretch out your hands towards him, if iniquity is in your hand, put it far away. Let not injustice dwell in your tents. Tents meaning your body. Surely then you will be able to lift your face without blemish. You will be secure and you will not fear. You will forget your misery. You will remember it as waters that have passed by, and your life will be brighter than the noonday. Isn't that beautiful? Its darkness will be like the morning, and you will feel secure. Why? Because there's hope. Because there's hope, because you want nothing else every day but make sure your heart is prepared for him, that you're stretching your hands out and saying, Lord, I need you today. Lord, I want your presence in my life. Holy Spirit, take control of my life. Allow me to live the way you want me to live. Help me to be secure because I have hope in you. It says you will lie down and none will make you afraid. Many will court your favor, but the eyes of the wicked will fail. All way of escape will be lost to them, and their hope is to breathe their last. Can you imagine about being that depressed, being that far away from God, that you don't seem like you can escape? There's no way to escape. And your hope is to breathe your last. So if we want to worship beyond these walls, we need to prepare our hearts. It's an everyday, it's an every moment thing of stretching out your hands and worshiping Him and lifting our faces without blemish. And blemish means to destroy or diminish our witness. That's so important that every day when you're either going to school, you're going to work, or whatever you're doing, do it for the glory of God. You know, prepare yourself. Run the race. Our mission beyond these walls involves trusting in God. Our worship beyond these walls involves preparing our hearts, stretching out our hands to Him, lifting. And third, our love beyond these walls involves God abiding and perfecting in us. If you heard the preacher preach yesterday, the guy from Chicago preaching in the wedding day, he talked a lot about love yesterday. He talked a lot about love. And in 1 John 4:7-12, and he even used a couple of these verses. I said, Kathy, I'm using those verses, man. Beloved, let us love one another, it says in verse 7. Because where does love come from? Does it come from money? Does it come from having a lot of things? Does it come from whatever? But it comes from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. We really can't understand how to love each other until we love God. When I first got married, I was married for 5 years before I had a relationship with God. And I look back, I didn't know what love was. Didn't know what love was without a doubt until I met Jesus Christ, till I surrendered my life to Him and wanted to live for Him and do things for His glory. It says in verse 8, anyone who does not love does not know God. If you're having trouble loving somebody right now, put your faith in God. Allow Him to speak to you and show you what love is. When they made those commitments yesterday, I love weddings. I mean, I could go to a wedding every day. You know, making that commitment for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and health, till death us do part. That's a powerful commitment to make. And He asked everybody in there to help that couple make that commitment. And that's what we need to do each other. Just like when we're dedicating our babies today, when we're dedicating our children, you know, like Nate shared in the community group today, my wife and I came up and we dedicated our children. There's many of you that have dedicated your children in here, saying, I'm going to do my best to pour into them the things of God. I'm going to help them get through their trials. I'm going to give them rules, and I'm going to love on them and give them things to do so they can know the glory of God. But it says anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. That's what life is all about. Living through Him. And it's a choice. It's an everyday choice. In verse 10, He says, in this love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us. That's why we're here worshiping here every week, worshiping Him, sending our praises out to Him, lifting our needs up to Him. But that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. That's beautiful. And propitiation means appeasement or satisfaction. The sacrifice of Jesus for us on the cross satisfied the demands of God's holiness for the punishment of our sins. So if you think about it, in this love, not that we have loved God, but He loved us, sent His Son to be that propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected in us. How many people want that perfective love in there? How many want it? It's a big commitment to want His love to be pouring through you, because there's so many other places that we can find love. There's so many other places that we think we can find love. It might be in a pub. It might be on the internet. It might be in video games. It might be in, you think, in other relationships. But God has called us to love one another, to be there for one another, to minister to one another, to pray for one another. And it's so important that we're here gathered together today. Yeah, we're going to fellowship. You know, we're going to eat 6-7 hot dogs apiece, and we're going to have fun fellowshipping with each other and laughing and shouting, because He wants that love to be for us. So when we go outside these walls, we'll understand what our mission is. And we have a mission here in our church. We should have it in our Bible. It's sitting back there on a wall if you want it. We have a mission, and that's to make disciples. You know, starting in June 10th, if you've never been through our discipleship series, please come at 9:30 and be a part of that. It's going to take 10 weeks. But we're going to do everything we can to disciple you, to get you prepared to go outside these walls to make a difference. Because that's our mission here. We want to make disciples who can then go and make disciples themselves. We have a vision here, and that's to reach and to lead all people to love God and to love others and live a missional life so we can make a difference in this generation for Him. And we have a process to do that. But it's really a choice whether you want to be a part of that process or not. And that's gathering together and growing together and going outside these walls and make a difference for you. It's all planned. It's all out. It's all a vision. But we can't do it without you. You know, and you need to be humble. You need to be faithful. You need to be ready to be a part of what God wants to do here. Because when you go outside these walls, He's going to bring people in your path that He's going to want you to be an ambassador for, you to make a difference in, you to pour your life in. A couple years ago, we had a family at the end of the block that were just downright alcoholics. And they had a young teenage boy there, and I felt for him. And Kathy and I would try to reach out because he's running around the neighborhood. He had nowhere to go because if you go home, his mother's just dropped dead drunk. And it was a sad thing to see. And we just poured into him and spent time with him and play ball with him, take him places. And then his mom came out one day and we just went down with her. And I just looked right at her and I said, "Ma'am," I said, "what can I pray for you for?" And she said, "I need to stop drinking and I can't. And I'm just stuck." And I prayed for her and I shared Christ with her. She said she knew who Jesus was, but she said she just felt like she was going down this path, this wrong path. You know, the path that's easy, the path that's easy to find, it, you can find it every place you go. And I prayed for her. And it was tough because 6 months later, she died. She died, and it was tough, and I just felt for that young boy and him, and it was his stepdad, and they moved away and stuff, and his stepdad stopped by a year later just to say hello to us and say that they're doing all right, and he thanked for their prayers. But there's somebody like that that you know, somebody like that in your neighborhood or at your job or maybe even in your same house that you're living in that needs prayer, that needs hope in their life, and for some reason they've decided to put their faith and trust in something else. And it's almost like a spider web. And the web is weaving and is trying to grab them in and grab a hold of them. And then they'll try to get a hold of that spider web, or they'll try to get a hold of that drug or that drink or whatever, that pornography or whatever, trying to fulfill that void in their lives. But we need to be prepared. And prepared and ready. Because you're sons and daughters are going to grow up and they're going to leave the house, and you hope that you've prepared them that when they grow up, they realize who Christ is. And they realize when they go out and they're going to get married and they're going to have children, and it's going to go on, and it's just life. And we have to be ready and prepared to meet that time when we need Him and trust in Him. And it brings me to my knees. It brings me to my knees because I just want us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Paul said, "What in the world do you do outside in the world?" And it gives us the things to do. He tells us to walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. Let our speech be always with grace, Not always with judging, not always with putting down, but with grace. So we may know how to answer everyone. I noticed several times in the wedding yesterday, he said a marriage is between a man and a woman. He made that explicit 3 or 4 times. I said, praise God. And I thought about some of the people out in the audience are living a different kind of lifestyle. I'm thinking, I wonder what they're thinking. But you pray that the word of God that went out yesterday at that wedding made sense to someone. And they thought, wow, God is good. God is love. It starts with love. It's all about love. It's all about his grace and his mercy. So if the band comes forward, just want to close in prayer. We have some time. The altars are open. Maybe someone needs prayer. Maybe they know someone who doesn't have the love of Christ that needs the love of Christ. Asking that question in a community group today about memories of your mom, that's tough for me. Because there's 3 or 4 times where I just sat down and laid out the gospel to my mom. And she never really accepted it in my presence. That doesn't mean anything. Because God's going to work his work. I can remember sitting outside in Florida, outside a Lifeway store. I said, Mom, this is my favorite store. Come in here with me. And she's walking around. She'd never been in a Christian store before. But just seeing the books, you know, and I'm watching how she's thinking and stuff. And just sitting out there, you know, on a bench, just saying, Mom, God made a difference in my life. I surrendered my life to him. I said, Lord, I'm sorry for the sins I've committed. And I received him into my heart. And I said, Mom, you got to do that. And then I give it a testimony because my dad had died a couple years early. Gave the testimony of how Dad did that. And I can remember here, you know, in February in 2011, walking outside my office. And my brother called, said, Mom is getting ready to die. And I'm just in the hallway by myself, just praying, God, please take her. Please take her to be with you because this life is short. And before you know it, I mean, you think about eternity and you think about this life, it's a whole different ballgame, man. We're talking about eternity here. We're talking about eternity in the presence of God, and we make these decisions through our life that take us away from God, and we need compassion, and we need love. If you have your Bibles with you, before I close, I want to, this Jude's been messing with me all week, not because I was listening to Hey Jude, but just Jude, praise God. Why do I always think of Pete when I think of the Beatles? I don't know why that is, but verse 17. This is for us today. But you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said in you, in the last time, this is so true. I mean, this is for today. In the last time, there'll be scoffers following their ungodly passions. And you know what they are. We know what ungodly passions are. If we don't, we've been living under a rock. It is these who cause division, worldly people, devoid of the Spirit, capital S, devoid of the Holy Spirit. But you, beloved, he's calling us today as Christians, as followers of Christ, with our mission and our worship and our love, building ourselves up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourselves in the love of God. Boy, it's fitting, these verses. Waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. Waiting for that. And then it says, have mercy on those who doubt. Some versions say have compassion. I love the word compassion. I love the word mercy. Have compassion on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by flesh, meaning hating the sin that they're doing, but loving that person and being there for them and snatching them, because the enemy wants nothing else but to split your marriage up. The enemy wants nothing else but your kids to get involved in drugs. It says, now to him who's able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. To our only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, be glorified, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forever. Amen. I want the teenagers that are going to collect the offering to come up. We're going to check your pockets when it's over. And don't be walking around with the basket looking at your phone, man. Put the phone down. Praise God. No, I was looking on an app to see how much I should give. Praise God. God is good. Come on up. Good looking teenagers here, man. Praise God. Got a young college man behind us. Got a man going to college. Praise God. Eric's going to write the next Star Wars, Star Trek movie with Jesus in it. Praise God. That's beautiful. Mitchell's going to dump the basketball in honor of Christ. Praise God. Father, we give you the glory for today, Lord. We lift up this offering to you, Father. Thank you for these beautiful teenagers we have here, Father. Help them to be passionate for you, Lord. To realize that the world is not going to give them what they need, Father. Your word says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. And Father, we want our character set upon you. We want our lives set upon you because you have a purpose for us, for every one of us in our schools, in our jobs, in our neighborhood. You have a purpose for us. So let's get busy having our hearts set upon you, Father. Our minds trusted in you, knowing that the mind is a control center of our body. So what we put in our mind is going to come out of our mouth, Father. So help us to put what's good and what's pleasing and what's perfect, because that's your will, Father, for us, Lord. Father, we want to raise up some great teenagers in this place, Father, who are passionate about you and ready to go to work. And it might be on the sports field. It might be a doctor. It might be a nurse. It might be a teacher. And no matter what they do, your word says, whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. Whatever you do in word and deed, do it all in the name and the glory of God. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, because we know we will receive an inheritance from the Lord as He who we are serving, no matter where you put us, Father. So, Father, bless our offering today. Father, thank you for these brothers and sisters who are here today. I can open my eyes and look around and see faithful people for years that have been here, faithful. And I thank you for that, Lord. And I know that when that faithfulness, when you call us home, you're going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Thank you for being faithful. And Father, we give you the glory, Lord. As we close, we open up this altar like we want to do every week, because we want to be a praying church. We want to be a church that's ready and willing to submit ourselves to you. And it says, in a time of trouble, come to the throne of grace, because we will find mercy there and forgiveness there, Father. I love the word forgiveness, because we all need it. We all got to have it. So, Father, I give you the glory, Lord. Father, thank you for Sienna today and Pete today and David today. Thank you for Caleb and the youth getting together a great lunch for us. Father, I pray for our fellowship. I pray for the food right now, Lord, that it will bless us, Father. Thank you, Lord. We want to be a church of prayer. We want to be a church that wants nothing else but the Holy Spirit to fill this place up, Father. I just want you, Lord. I want more of you, Father. I want to be a better pastor for you. I want to be a better husband for you. I want to be a better neighbor for you. And Father, I know I can't do that without letting go of the control I think I have and giving you the control, which is what last week was all about. But I think it's a lifelong thing, this control thing. So Father, help us to give that control up to you. Help Thank you for that beautiful piano in the background. I feel your presence here, Lord. And I'm thankful to be a part of it, Father. Thank you for the opportunity to share your word, your truth, Father, from Job and Jeremiah and John, Lord. I give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys.